Take your Bibles, please, and open with me to John chapter 9. And over the next 41 minutes, we're going to cover 41 verses. Wow. So I can average a verse a minute. My wife is going to give me a sign when it's about 11:40 or so. And John 9, if you didn't know, the big picture here is that Jesus Christ was passing by and he healed a man born blind, opened his eyes for the first time ever in his life. Gave him sight. But that miracle was a sign to point to an even greater miracle. And that is the opening of the eyes of those who are born spiritually blind. How many of you in this room today can say, I once was blind, but now I see? Look at all those hands. Okay? But that might not be everyone. That, of course, is the big picture here. Every miracle that Jesus ever performed was to point to something beyond the miracle. It really was to point to the gospel. To the gospel that Jesus Christ is the Savior for sinners and that sinners can be saved by Jesus Christ. There's no case too difficult for Christ. So that's the big picture here, but we're going to go through all these verses, and I think you'll find there are many more lessons to learn along the way. And so each one of these lessons as we go through, you should get about 10 of them, plus minus. And they all begin the same way. When Jesus opens your eyes, whether he does that physically, as in the case of the blind man, or when he does that spiritually in the case of salvation, I think that you will be able to agree with all of these lessons. When Jesus opens your eyes, and then the rest will be a truth. So, follow along. It'll be good if you follow along in your Bibles. John chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work, really, if you recall, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in this world, I am the light of the world. Stop there. I covered verses 1 to 5 in a previous sermon, therefore, verse 6. See how fast that went? Verse 6. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. What did Jesus just do? He just broke the Sabbath twice. He just broke the Sabbath twice. Mixing was forbidden on the Sabbath. Well, Jesus spat into the dirt and he mixed it. Broke the Sabbath. And then he took that mixture and he anointed the eyes of the man born blind, which sounds more like a way to make you blind rather than to make you see. But he did that, and anointing, other than for daily purposes, was also forbidden by the tradition of the Jews. Jesus just violated the tradition of the Jews against mixing and special anointing. Keep that in mind. Strike two already. Strike one, he did mixing. Strike two, he did anointing. And strike three, he sent the man on an errand. Verse 7, he said to him, Go and wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. What did Jesus just do? On the one hand, he broke the Sabbath. Well, not really. God didn't have a law against mixing, and God didn't have a law against this kind of anointing, but the Jews did in their traditions. On the one hand, he broke the tradition of the Pharisees. On the other hand, he just performed one of the greatest miracles in all of human history. It's true what the blind man later says in verse 32, Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone has opened the eyes of one who was born blind. The Spirit of God is showing us and telling us that Jesus Christ, in the presence of witnesses, his 12 disciples, the blind man himself, and probably others, in the presence of witnesses, he just performed a great miracle. And as you know from John 20, verse 30, the end of the gospel, right? These signs are written in order that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you might have life in his name. There are two lessons to learn already from what we've seen. Lesson number one, and I think the blind man himself would tell you this. When Jesus opens your eyes for the first time, it's a miracle. It is a beautiful, wonderful miracle. Now that's true, certainly, if you were born blind and Jesus opened your eyes so that you were seeing for the first time. And one day, Brother Dan Wontok, we're going to see that happen with you. One day, if not in this lifetime, then in the lifetime to come, we're going to see that Dan Wontok is seeing, and we are going to rejoice. All of us who believe are going to be there. We're going to rejoice with him. But listen, it is equally true. If you were once a sinner and living your life day to day without Jesus Christ, but now you know Jesus Christ as your Lord, guess what? Jesus has opened your eyes. And that is a wonderful, beautiful miracle. You ought to say, thank you, God, for opening my eyes. Like the kids said, we should say, thank you, Jesus. We should worship him and praise him. Second lesson is this. First, remember, when Jesus opens your eyes, it's a miracle. Second is, when Jesus opens your eyes, he has more in mind than the miracle. Why did Jesus do it this way? Why by spitting into the dirt and mixing it up into a clay and anointing and sending him on an errand? Do you think Jesus knew that he was violating the Sabbath? Oh, yeah. He did it on purpose. He did three strikes against the Sabbath tradition on purpose because he had in mind that the man born blind was going to go and witness to those who are spiritually blind. So listen, the same is true of you. When Jesus performed that miracle in your life, and for the first time he helped you to see that you were a sinner, that you needed a Savior, and that Jesus Christ was the only one who could save you from your sins, he had more in mind than just healing you. He had in mind your parents, your neighbors, your relatives, your kids, your loved ones, strangers. He had in mind others that you would meet in this life who were born spiritually blind. And he had in mind using you as a testimony to them. Two lessons so far. We're booking right along. Lesson one, when Jesus opens your eyes, it's a miracle. And number two, when Jesus opens your eyes, he has more in mind than just the miracle. Let's take a look at what happens. Of course, Jesus is planning to send this man out with his testimony, and just like your testimony, his testimony becomes a sharp two-edged sword that divided people into two groups, those who believed and those who did not believe. Notice verse 8. Therefore, the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind, they said, "Is not this he who sat and begged?" Some said, "This is he." Others said, "He's like him." You see that? Some are like, they just can't believe their eyes. They can't believe their eyes that this man who used to be blind is now seeing. And he said, "I'm he," at the end of verse 9. "No, I'm the guy." Verse 10. Therefore they said to him, "Well, how were your eyes opened?" Verse 11. He answered and said, "A man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and I received sight." I mean, great testimony, right? So simple. Here's what happened. And it was all thanks to Jesus. Verse 12. Then they said to him, "Well, where is he?" He said, "I don't know." Stop there. Neighbors. Neighbors. The neighbors of the man born blind and those who knew him as the blind beggar could hardly believe their eyes and they could hardly believe their ears. See, you're saying this Jesus came along and made some. What do you know about clay? They're doubting. They're having a hard time with this. They're finding his testimony hard to believe, which leads to lesson number three. When Jesus opens your eyes, it's hard for people to believe, even if they see the change. I mean, people could see this man was changed, and when you got saved, If you got saved as an adult, people knew that something is different. Something has changed about you. Suddenly you're talking about church. Suddenly you're talking about God and Jesus and the Bible, whereas like before, you were not talking about that. Or suddenly you're just not going out partying. Suddenly you're just not running with them in all their dissipation, like Peter says in 1 Peter, what is that, 4? They're like, why won't you run with us like you used to? It's Friday night. But it's very hard for them to believe that God, that Jesus changed you. Well, that's just the way it is, right? When Jesus opens your eyes, it's a miracle. And Jesus has in mind more than just the miracle. But when he opens your eyes and you start to testify, it's hard for people to believe you, even if they can see the change. I had you raise your hands. How many can say, I once was blind, but now I see? So I got another survey question for you. This one will be interesting. Many of you raised your hands. You said, I used to be blind, but now I see. I've been saved. Well, how many of you went and testified to those who knew you before and saw that they don't believe you? Ever seen unbelief at your testimony? Yeah. And especially in family, right? It's really hard with family. Amen? Oh, yeah. Really hard with family because a prophet is not without honor except in his own home and among the members of his own household. Hard for mom and dad to believe that you, that little kid who used to, you know, play in the cow manure. That was my story. That's a whole nother story. I should talk to Pastor Rick about this. But apparently as a child, I used to play in the cow manure and throw the patties and stuff like that. It's a little hard for them to believe that now you're a messenger from God. Right? You know, it's hard for the family to believe because they knew you before. And who are you to tell them? Yeah, we've all seen this. And some, you know, they don't believe that you've been changed. They believe that you've lost your mind, or you've become part of a cult, or you've been sucked into that religion. Yeah. Lesson number 3 is that when Jesus opens your eyes, it can be hard for others to believe, even if they see that you have changed. Well, verse 13. They brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees, and we'll just give him the benefit of the doubt. I don't think they have any bad intentions here. Some people think they did. But probably to see what the Pharisees would say, because these are the gurus. These are the experts. Surely they would have something to say about this man who was born blind and now can see. You know, so they bring him there. Surely they would probably see this as an amazing miracle, wouldn't they? Well, verse 14. Now it was a Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Trouble. Now why is that here? Well, again, it's because according to their tradition, what does this miracle make Jesus in their eyes? A sinner. Listen, side note, this is not one of the lessons, but side note, that is what legalism does. Bear with me. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands here because I don't want to divide you. Some people, I would guess, in this room are going to celebrate Christmas. And some people in this room are not going to celebrate Christmas. Christians divide over that, okay? Some people would say, oh my goodness, how can you go out in the woods and get a tree? I mean, that's a reminder of the prophet, and that's idolatry. And others would go, idolatry? Are you kidding me? That we're celebrating the birth of Jesus? And quickly they're divided, right? One group has a tradition. Tradition. Miss Randy? Right? Tradition. Great movie, Fiddler on the Roof, right? One group has their tradition. Their tradition is we observe Christmas and we go out and we cut down a tree and we bring it in and we put stuff on it and lights and the kids love looking at it and we're celebrating the birth of Jesus. Another group has, and both groups have read stuff and heard stuff and learned stuff over the years. Another group has this tradition like that's idolatry. I read something somewhere that said that that's a pagan holiday and don't you know Christ Mass is the Mass, it's Catholic and how dare you? Now listen. If you hold firmly to your tradition that you observe Christmas, you know what the non-observers of Christmas are in your eyes? Violators. If you hold to the tradition that you do not observe Christmas, do you know what the observers of Christmas are in your eyes? Violators. When the truth is, what does the Bible say? One esteems one day above another, and another esteems every day alike. And the answer is, let each one become fully convinced in his own mind. You know who's the violator in my illustration just now? Everyone who's judging the other. That's also what legalism does. It makes you the sinner because you now judge others as sinners against your tradition, and the only one sinning is you because you're judging others against your tradition. Now, that's all side lesson. That's not lesson number four. So, back to the blind man, verse 15. Then the Pharisees also asked him again. They'd already heard this once, apparently. They asked him again how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Now, by the way, here, this is also sideline. The beauty of personal testimony. Right? The beauty of a personal testimony is simply, here's what Jesus did for me, and here's how it happened. And every single one of you who used to be blind but now you see, you have a unique testimony. Nobody else has your testimony. Vic, no one else has Vic Gustafson's testimony. He shared a little bit of that today. It was very powerful. Right? He only had to share a snippet. A snippet. But everyone has a unique testimony. You do, I do, every Christian has a unique testimony. That's the beauty of this. He's just saying, well, I was born blind. Jesus came along. He anointed my eyes. He put clay in my eyes. I washed and I see. So lesson number four. When Jesus opens your eyes, you cannot but testify. You cannot but testify. What did the disciples say in Acts 4:20 when they were saying, you guys have to shut up. You can't do this anymore. No more speaking in the name of Jesus. They said, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Acts 4:20. That's true. If Jesus Christ has opened your eyes, you cannot but testify. You have to speak. In fact, you're like looking for and waiting for opportunities. This really isn't in my notes, but I went motorcycle riding on Friday. It was a lot of fun. And I went with a guy that I know. His name is Richard, and he's a believer in Jesus Christ. And I went with a guy that I'd never met before. His name was Dan. Is Dan. Still is. Okay, his name's Dan. So I know that Richard and I have witnessed before to guys that we go dirt biking with because that's part of the reason that we go. So we're on the truck ride to the trailhead, and the bikes are in the trailer in the back, and those guys are up front. I always let the other guy take shotgun, and I'm sitting in back. And they're up there talking, and I'm wanting to testify about Christ because I don't know who this guy is. I don't know if he's a believer. But Richard doesn't say anything, and Richard's a great testifier for Jesus Christ, great witness for Christ. And Richard isn't bringing it up either, so I'm kind of waiting back there. And then we get to the trailhead, and we're suiting up and putting all of our protective gear on and everything. And this guy, Dan, we're getting ready to get on the motorcycles and head up this mountain. And he goes, oh, hey, if you guys wouldn't mind, I'd really like to ask the Lord to bless our time. And I'd like to pray for our... And we're all going, what? Wow, yes, that would be great. And he led us in a great prayer for our ride, and God answered. It was a great trip. When Jesus opens your eyes, you cannot but testify. Turns out Dan was looking for an opportunity to witness to us. Praise God. And then the rest of the day, we're talking about the Lord and we're praising God for the beautiful scenery. It was awesome. All right, moving right along. Same with the man born blind. All right, after Jesus healed him, he testifies again and again and again. And as you go through chapter 9, it's with increasing boldness and with increasing clarity about Jesus Christ. That's the way it is. When Jesus opens your eyes, you're born again, and like Jesus said back in John 3, you hear the sound of it. Remember that? The wind blows where it wills, and you hear the sound of it. So it is with everyone who's born of the Spirit. When you're born again of the Holy Spirit, it's audible. People can tell your speech is different. All right, verse 16. Therefore, some of the Pharisees, speaking of Jesus, said, "This man is not from God, because he doesn't keep the Sabbath." Others said, "Well, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division among them. Well, testimony is a sword, all right? Your testimony is a sword that brings division. Some people believe and some people don't. Verse 17, they said to the blind man again, "What do you say about him because he opened your eyes?" And the blind man says, "He's a prophet." Notice that? Now, the first time, he said, a man called Jesus. This time he says, he's a prophet. Oh, we're seeing some progress. Where do we get to the end? This is a good thing. Gradually, this man's eyes, blind man, his eyes are being opened to see Jesus Christ for who he really is. verse 18. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and that he had received his sight until they called the parents. They called the parents of him who had received his sight. Verse 19, and they asked them, saying, is this your son whom you say was born blind? How then does he now see? And this is like accusatory. They're going on the attack here. Verse 20, his parents answered and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age, ask him, he will speak for himself. See what they're doing? Little bit distancing themselves from their son. Pretty sad. Verse 22, his parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that Jesus was the Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. And therefore his parents said, he's of age, ask him. Stop there. Well, fear of man, of course, is a what? Snare. Way to go. Fear of man is a snare. Proverbs 29:25. And it's bad enough that the neighbors were doubting this man, but here we see that his own parents are sort of distancing themselves from what happened in his life because of fear. And no doubt, the blind man has to be starting to see some things that he probably didn't see so clearly before. Which leads us to lesson number 5. When Jesus opens your eyes, you'll see things that you didn't see before. Pretty obvious, right? But I mean spiritually. You're going to see things that you just didn't see before. You might even see that your parents, while religious, are not saved. Anybody have that happen? Like you got saved, and then you start talking to the folks about Jesus, and you're like, hey, wait a second. I think my parents aren't born again, even though they're the ones that took me to church. Anybody have that experience? Yeah. It happens. You can find that your own parents or your priest or your pastor or your spiritual leader isn't born again. It's crazy. It's an eye-opener. The man born blind is now seeing things he hadn't seen. So quick review of 5 lessons. We're halfway done. When Jesus opens your eyes, number one, it's a miracle. Number two, when Jesus opens your eyes, he has more in mind than the miracle. Lesson number three, when Jesus opens your eyes, it's hard for others to believe. Way to go. Even if they can see the change. Lesson number four, when Jesus opens your eyes, you can't help but testify. And lesson number 5, when Jesus opens your eyes, you'll see things you never saw before. Or you'll see things differently. Same idea. It's true. Jesus changes you when he opens your eyes. Well, verse 24. Verse 24. So they again called the man who was blind and said to him, give God the glory. That also, I think, is with an accusatory tone. You'll see why I say that. We know that this man is a sinner, speaking of Jesus. Now, this gets increasingly interesting. And I won't pull out all that's interesting. I won't have time to do everything. What does it mean when they say in verse 24, give God the glory? Do you know of any place else that's said in the Bible? Does it ring a bell? Anybody ring a bell? Ring a bell? How about in the days of Joshua? And remember Achan's sin at Ai? And he's not coming clean with the fact that he took the forbidden thing. You know, he stole. Joshua 7:19. Joshua says to Achan, give God the glory. You know what he means? Tell the truth. Stop lying. Give glory to the Lord God of Israel and make confession. Tell me now what you have done and don't hide it from me or stop hiding it. I think that's what's happening here. These Pharisees, they do not believe that Jesus just came along and spit in some clay and put it on the guy's eyes and he goes to the pool and suddenly he's seeing. They think the guy's lying. And now they're going on the attack. They're trying to discredit the blind man and his testimony, ultimately to discredit whom? Jesus Christ. Why do they want to discredit Christ? Because they hate him. Leads to lesson number 6. Lesson number 6. When Jesus opens your eyes and you testify, beware of men. That was the lesson of Matthew 10. Remember before Jesus sent his disciples out to testify? He said, well, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be shrewd as serpents and harmless as doves, but beware of men. Matthew 10, verses 16 and 17. Why does he say beware of men? Because Jesus knows the nature of men is to reject Jesus Christ and all who follow him. That's human nature. Right? And so when Jesus opens your eyes and you start to testify, beware of men. Expect to be attacked. Expect to be ridiculed. Expect to be made fun of. Expect to be opposed. Expect to be not believed. This man is going to the leaders of Israel. A great miracle has happened in his life. And now he goes to them and they are not impressed. In fact, they're going on the attack. It's crazy. And I will tell you this. I was not saved at the age of 18. I was not saved until I was 27. But I did go to a Christian camp at 18. And there was an altar call. I went with a wrestling buddy, and he said, come on to this Christian camp. And I borrowed my ex-girlfriend's tent. That's a whole other story, right, Denise? Woo, don't tell that one right now. I borrowed my ex-girlfriend's tent. We're back together and married now for 36 years. But I borrowed this tent, and we went to this tent campout. And there was an altar call, and I went down front. And, you know, they kind of led us in a sinner's prayer, and I was going through the motions, and they gave us this little booklet. Ben Born Again. You know, like Ben Born Again, like I've been born again, but it's called Ben Born Again's Handbook. I still remember, by the way, it was Bible, Prayer, Worship, Fellowship, Evangelism, the five ways that Ben Born Again is going to grow. I still remember it to this day. Well, I went back to my church, to my pastors in the Methodist Church, United Methodist Church, which today is like, whew, talk about veering off course. I went back and I said, hey, I was at a Christian camp out thing. I camped out with my wrestling buddy, and I got this handbook. I've been born again. And I still remember my pastor saying to me, no, you haven't. You don't need to be born again. You went through confirmation when you were 13 years old. You are good to go. And I go, oh, okay. Tossed the Ben Born Again book. And I mean, I wasn't saved, I wasn't changed, and I hadn't been born again. And so, in a way, he was correct. But he totally dissed the concept of being born again. And I was like, huh. When I was born again, many years later, 9 years later, at the age of 27, I remembered that. And my eyes were open to say, wow, that is interesting. A pastor who totally disregarded the teaching of Jesus in John chapter 3. So lesson 6 is when Jesus opens your eyes and you testify, beware of men. All right, so they said that Jesus is a sinner, verse 25. Find it in your Bibles, verse 25. He answered and said, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. Oh, that's a great testimony. Great if you can boil your testimony down to one thing. I know this. I was a great sinner, but Jesus is a great Savior. Some people say it that way. Isn't that true? It's a great testimony. And all thanks to Jesus Christ. Well, verse 26, then they said to him again, well, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? Oh, now he gets a little snarky. I think that's the new word. Verse 27, he answered them, I told you already, and you didn't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? Oh, I kind of like it. He's not afraid of men, is he? And that's the plus. Now, we maybe would correct him a little bit. I don't know. But he is not afraid of the Pharisees. Way bolder than his own parents. Well, verse 28. They reviled him and said, you are his disciple. We are Moses' disciples. Now stop there. Are they really? No. How do you know? Because Moses wrote about Jesus. They're not Moses' disciples at all. And remember, Jesus exposed that back in chapter 5 when he said, if you were Moses' disciples, you would believe in me because Moses wrote about me. So Jesus exposed that idea. They're not Moses' disciples. They're blind to who they are. Aren't they? They're blind. They're completely blind to who they are. That'd be another side lesson. But that's one of the things. Your eyes will be open to things you didn't see before. And one of the things your eyes are going to be open to is how many people are actually blind in this world. A lot of people are spiritually blind. They don't know Christ. You can think you're a disciple when you're not. Spiritual blindness is a terrible thing. And the physically blind don't think, you know, it's actually worse than physical blindness. Brother Dan Wontuck, I'm not going to ask him right now, but I'll bet you that he doesn't think that he actually can see. But the spiritually blind think that they can, don't they? They think they have no problem. Verse 29, we know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from. Verse 30, all right, if I had to pick one favorite part of the whole chapter, here it is. The man answered and said to them, oh man, this is just so good. I don't know why it makes me cry, that's weird. He says, why, this is a marvelous thing. Almost as if saying, here's the miracle. The blind man, talking to the Pharisees. Why, this is a miracle, I'm paraphrasing, that you don't know where he's from, and yet he has opened my eyes. That is an incredible statement. Leon Morris paraphrases it this way. I love this. He paraphrases verse 30. This is the really marvelous thing. Your unbelief in the face of the evidence is more of a miracle than my cure. And it is amazing, right? These are the religious gurus, but they see and hear the good news that Jesus Christ just healed a man born blind, and they say, we don't know where he's from. And the man says, that is a marvelous thing, which leads us to lesson number 7. When Jesus opens your eyes and you testify, you will marvel at unbelief. You really will. You're going to marvel at unbelief. I still remember my mom came to visit us when we were at Grace Community Church. Denise and I were talking. We can't remember if she was there for my graduation from seminary or if she just came out to visit. But somewhere in the course of between 1997 and 2000, when I was attending seminary out there, my mom came to visit. So she's there at Grace Community Church. John MacArthur preaching, Marianne. John MacArthur. Picking on you. I mean, we love John MacArthur too, but John MacArthur's preaching. And I'm sitting there thinking, she's going to get saved. I mean, how could she possibly not get saved? John MacArthur, and he's preaching the gospel that day, a super clear gospel. And we're sitting there going, oh, she's going to get saved. My mom walks out of that sanctuary criticizing everything just the way she walked in. Oh, that music or that, I can't remember what all it was, but it was a critique. And I was like, unchanged. How can that happen? And you know what would be sad today? It's possible somebody has come into this church today, spiritually blind, and they could end up walking out the same way. Even though, listen, if you're here today, we're here to tell you about Jesus Christ. He opens the eyes of the blind. He heals sinners. He delivers from sin. He forgives people's sins forever, all of them, and gives you the gift of eternal life and the Holy Spirit to help you live the Christian life. I mean, how could you say no to that? But how many of you have ever seen people say no to the gospel? Seen it? Isn't that, it's like a miracle. I mean, it's not a miracle, right? But it's like, how can you be so blind? And that's just it, isn't it? That they are blind, but they think that they can see. Verse 31. I know my time's about up. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, says the blind man. My Bible has 12 cross-references to that fact. One of them out of Proverbs. Listen, whoever turns his ear away from hearing God's law, even his prayer is an abomination. Wow. The blind man says, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, then God hears that man. Verse 32, since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Now who's on the attack? The blind man. I love it. He is becoming so bold for Jesus Christ. And he's exposing the blindness of the Pharisees. They claim to be disciples of Moses, but clearly a greater than Moses is here, but they're blind to it. So one of the things that your eyes might be open to see is how those who seem to be the most spiritual in the eyes of men are actually the most blind. My wife was telling me that Whoopi Goldberg met with the Pope. You heard about that? Whoopi Goldberg met with the Pope recently. don't read what they said to each other, because it has spiritual blindness written all over it. Like both sides, completely blind to the truth. And it's sad. Well, number seven, repeating, when Jesus opens your eyes, you marvel at unbelief. You marvel at who all is unbelieving, at who all is blind. And lesson eight, look at verse 34. They answered and said to him, "You were completely born in sins. And are you teaching us?" And they cast him out. Now, why did they say you were completely born in sins? That was the thinking of the day. If you were born blind, apparently it was your own fault or your parents' fault. You were born completely in sins. Is that true? Absolutely not. Right? They're believing a lie. They're blind to the truth about those who are born with physical disabilities. They're blind to that too. They cast the man out. Lesson 8. When Jesus opens your eyes and you testify, it will cost you. It's going to cost you. So get ready to pay the price. Right? All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. 2 Timothy 3:12. Right? The disciple is not above his teacher. If they called the master of the house Beelzebub, a name of a Philistine god, if they called the master of the house names, how much more the members of the household? When Jesus opens your eyes and you testify, it will cost you. In this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome this world. Verse 35. Who loves outcasts? Who? Jesus Christ loves outcasts. Jesus heard that they'd cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. What did Jesus just do? A greater miracle than the first. He just opened the eyes of the man born blind for a second time. Now he's opened his eyes to see that Jesus Christ is Lord. And when Jesus opens your eyes, you will see Jesus as Lord. Lesson number 9. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free from spiritual blindness. You know, there's a whole debate that's been raging for decades at least. The Lordship salvation. You ever heard of Lordship salvation? Who's heard of that? You heard of it. A lot of people heard of that, right? People don't want to admit it. And the free grace movement. Well, here, just one element of that controversy is some people believe that you can believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, but not make him Lord. Sorry, nobody makes Jesus Lord but God the Father, and God the Father has made him Lord. And when Jesus opens your eyes, you see Jesus Christ as Lord. You'll worship him. You'll bow before him. You'll surrender to him. That's what will happen. And lesson 10, last lesson, when Jesus opens your eyes, you will see that those who do not believe are blind, and their sin remains on them. They're blind, and their sin remains on them. Look at verse 40, verse 39. And Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind." Now, what is this talking about? Those who do not see, that's talking about those who are sinners and who will admit that they are sinners and see the need for a Savior. Then he says, those who see may be made blind. Let's talk about the Pharisees, the self-righteous, those who are blinded by their pride. Those who think they're good without Christ, that they don't need Jesus. And that's our natural state. All of us were born in sin, and because of sin, we're blinded to our own sinfulness. And apart from Jesus Christ, there is no hope. Verse 40, then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, "Are we blind also?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, 'We see,' and therefore your sin remains." One commentator says, "The sin of the self-righteous remains on them. And so it is with all who are religious but not regenerate." It's true. If you're in this house of God today and you've never been born again, your sin remains on you like a dirty garment. And that dirty garment will never be taken away unless you repent and trust in Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 8:24, unless you believe that I am He, that means unless you believe in Jesus Christ as God, you will die in your sins. And so, in closing, where are you? Are you blind or do you see? Has Jesus opened your eyes to see that you are a sinner in need of a Savior? And has He opened your eyes to see that Jesus Christ is the only Savior for sinners? Do you see Jesus Christ as Lord? Do you worship Him? If so, hallelujah. That's the right response. Say, praise God. Thank you, God, for opening my blind eyes. Keep me from falling into Pharisaism. Keep me from falling into the foolishness of traditions that cause other people to be sinners in my sight. Keep me from judging others, from looking down my nose. God, help us to not be like the Pharisees. Open our eyes to see that Jesus Christ is the only Savior for sinners. We are undeserving, unworthy slaves, right? Only doing what we ought to do. Hopefully we're doing that. But praise God for Jesus Christ. And be like the man born blind. Testify. Testify of Jesus Christ. Look for, pray for, wait for opportunities to tell others what Jesus did for you. Are you here today and you don't see? You don't believe in Jesus Christ? You're not a Christian? You've never been born again? I have good news for you. In the sovereignty of God, you're in this place and Jesus is here. And He's here for one purpose, to open the eyes of the blind. You could have your eyes open today. You could have your sins forgiven today, forever. By one means, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for this great account of the man born blind and your Son, Jesus Christ, coming by, opening His eyes, and then opening His eyes again. And Father, many of us in this place can testify, and we do testify, that there is no other name given under heaven among men by which we must be saved. There's no other Savior besides Jesus Christ. Father, we pray, open the eyes of the blind to see your Son as Savior and Lord, and do it for your own glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.